I would like to say, first of all, a big thank you to the state of Texas. I think we've all been received very warmly from the Texas Beef Council, the Texas Cattle Raisers, the Texas Cattle Feeders, and also the pork producers here. So I think for all of us, from all of us, we'd like to say thank you to all the folks here in Texas. The other thing I would like to say is that these board meetings are much more than just a board meeting from the standpoint that this is an opportunity for a lot of you to exchange your ideas and views, sometimes cuss and discuss, you know, the issues before us, but it's a great opportunity for a lot of different sectors, in our case, 9 different sectors in the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I think, to come together. I think also something very special about this meeting is that it's what we call our strategic planning conference. It's our and this is very important because this is the conference where our directors come in, they go into the various committees, and that's going to go on this afternoon, whether it's beef or pork or also the exporter committee, and they're going to lay out basically what they see as their plans, the issues. They're going to have questions. They're looking to you for answers, but they're also going to give you kind of what they see in the market, and this is the first place where we debut what we think we want to do for the next year. So we rely on all of you, and our government wants this because all of what you do is all amalgamated into a plan called the UES, the United Unified Export Strategy. And so this is a very important step in for what we do. So I want all of you really, you've seen some of these S&P manuals. I hope you all read them. They've been really simplified. They're narrowed down to about a page, page and a half for a lot of the markets. But the key fundamental questions are in there. So please take a look at this and consider this as your meeting to really have input, direct input into our planning process. It's difficult for us once we start the train down the tracks to all of a sudden stop the train in the middle of February and change the whole plan. So this is where we really need your input. When we take a look at our export performance this year, I think we're doing pretty well on the beef side, considering the environment. I think we all know that the Russian market closed for both beef and pork on February 11th of this last year. But when we take a look at this, we're up about 10% on our value and about 1% in volume when it comes to our beef exports. So this is pretty commendable when you think about some of the things we've been through as far as the beef industry, and also the fact that we've eclipsed the value level of what we had when BSE occurred as far as that last year in 2003. On the pork side, we've been more challenged. We still have the Russian issue, but we're down about 5% on volume and value. I'm going to talk about that just a little bit in a minute. And on lamb, I think we're doing pretty good on lamb. We're up about 13% on value and about 3% on volume. When I talk with Forrest Roberts and some of my friends at the NCBA, you know, they're always talking about the five nations, and I think the five nations is a group of countries that are working together on various issues, but MEF also has a list of what we call five nations, and these are the five nations that I think that in the beef committee especially and in the packer committee we should really talk about, because as we talk about this meeting, just another month, it'll be 10 years, that anniversary of the cow that stole Christmas. So it's going to be 10 years next month that we've had a decade of dealing with BSE. And we still have about 4 or 5 countries that are still basically closed or partially closed to us. The number one market that grates on me probably as much as any of them starts with the ABCs, is Australia. You know, we've done a lot of work over the years, but when we see Australia, we see them as a very strong competitor in the market. They've launched their clean their safe and clean campaign. They talk about, you know, the government guidelines and how it's an island and they have to protect it. But you can't even go into Australia with an apple, you know. And so when you start to look at this thing, we need Australia to really take this position of adhering to the guidelines, especially by the OIE. So to me, we've never sold a lot of product in Australia, but we encounter Australia in all the major markets we work in, and it would be very helpful to us if they were open to our product as well as New Zealand. I think another market that Joel can speak spades about, we've all talked about, we're focused on immeasurably, is China. China is a market that has untold potential. Whether the number is up 600% or 800% in 1 year, this is how much beef consumption has gone up in China. And so, the imports, the growth in the market. The cattle prices have gone up, I think, 80% also in China. So They don't have the beef. They're looking for it, and they're scouring the world to try to find it. And the fact that we're out of China, and in fact, we might have been out of China this last decade at the highest growth that China's ever going to experience. And now China's starting to taper off. I know the speaker yesterday still had some very strong reservations about China going forward, but there are some. There's always a trend, a pendulum swing, as you know, with countries and economies, and we've seen it. And so we've seen the high growth of Japan, we've seen the high growth of other markets, and it sooner or later does taper off, and I think this is a challenge that we're going to see. So the best years maybe in China's growth, we've been out of that market. So we want to get back in that market, and we want to salvage what we can, because we do know there's a tremendous amount of potential in that market for U.S. product. Saudi Arabia, another country that's supposed to be a very good friend of the United States, has been a little rockier lately, but they capriciously closed their market with our fourth case of BSE, and we're hardly able to have even conversations with them on this. And then the last market that's very close to us, it's one of the first markets to open up, is Mexico. We're still leaving a lot of product on the table in Mexico. And maybe the last market that of course, it's not so much BSE related, it's related to everything else, But the Russian market for the beef industry is very, very important. So we do have to work on this. And I think in the Packer committee and in the beef committee meeting, this is an area that we really need to address as we go forward. So that's that. I think as we talk about another issue, and I think that's my role, is to bring to the attention of you people, our stakeholders, if you will, you know, what are some of the issues that we're really dealing with? I have a lot of concerns. David talked on it a little bit earlier. We have a stronger yen in Japan. Our sales, our market share in Japan is down 3% year on year. So with the stronger yen, you've had somewhat of a crackdown on the frozen. It's affected some more than others. But there's other countries that are increasing right now. We've always been the good boy who's always been increasing our market share and our tonnage in the Japanese market, even when the Japanese market has been declining. And if you take a look at this right now, and I'd really like Dan, I'd like John Hinners, and everybody to really bring this forward in the pork committee today, how important this is, because frankly, what we're losing in Japan, we would have to basically double in Taiwan today, or we'd have to double in the Caribbean, or basically in Chile or the Dominican Republic. That's just what we're losing. And if all of a sudden these countries said, we're going to close our market, that'd be all hell to pay. What are they doing? You know, we'd be upset. We're sitting here, and this market is starting to erode for us as a market. And we need to do something about it. So I would say that, you know, for example, this summer, this was the first year in a long, long time that we haven't had a summer pork campaign in Japan. We did spot promotions with some retailers, but we never had a full-blown campaign. So I think that we really need to take another look at the Japanese market, and not maybe look at just individual promotions, but this market is a very critical market to the margins and to the profitability. It's a $1.7 billion market, and I think it'd be good for everybody to take a look at this. And I do think there's always a tendency for people sometimes to go to consultants and ask consultants for their opinions and for papers and all this. But my the way I've dealt with consultants over the year, they're the kind of guys that sometimes say, you know, give me your watch, and then I'll tell you what time it is. And I think we gotta watch that a little bit, you know, when we're doing this, because there are people that are in the market, and we need to talk to people who are doing the business before we make some of these major changes in these markets. I think in the committees, I'm not going to talk about it today, but TPP and TTIP, these are two areas that are very, very important to us as an industry. I think it's a great opportunity for us to really make some real progress on the trade side. All I'd say is that TPP is further along. It's had 19 different sessions as far as the countries meeting. Japan inclusion in TPP is major. Obviously, that's going to be the key area. And, you know, that'll be talked about hopefully at length in a lot of these meetings. And I know it's something that's very much on the minds of the producers as well as the packers that are here. I think lastly, I would like to talk a little bit about the Farm Bill. As you all know, this has been very, very difficult for everybody in this room. It's also very difficult for us on the international side, because the United States in some ways is not even taking leadership domestically with this stuff, but it's also impacting us internationally. We're not going to certain negotiations. It's been certain people can't show up in places. It's been very, very tough. So the Farm Bill not only impacts the cooperators like MEF and many other cooperators that you're familiar with, like the Grains Council or USEC or whatever, but also it affects FAS and the Foreign Agricultural Service that's very important in these markets and the roles that they have. So anything that we can do, I think, is going to be critical in the next month or two to see that we can get this farm bill actually approved, especially the trade title where MAP and FMD is so much involved. That's basically 50% of our funding. The government funds most of our offices overseas, so it's critical to the interests of this industry and the people in this room that we get this done. So really, in the end of the day, you know, as I said once in our executive committee, the real question for us is, are we going to compete or are we going to retreat? And I think we got to keep that in mind. When we're not competing, when we're not going forward in the international marketplace, you're going backwards. So I think that's something I think is very important for all of you. Are we going to compete or are we going to retreat? And it's not just in name only. It really means our deeds and what we do and what we've done. We really have to continue to dignify that with the hard work and the dedication and the conviction. I've never seen a time, frankly, when the competition is more intense than it is today. They all see these markets. If you look at North Asia, I mean, there's more delegations going into North Asia, including China, Korea, Japan, and even Taiwan, than I've ever seen. And so the amount of competition that's out there is phenomenal. And I think we have to be up to it.